واستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه سراجا منيرا. بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف عنها الغمة صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. صدق الله المولى العظيم. But before we begin, let's try to make Amal on one sunnah today so we get more ajr. We're here for thawab and ajr, so we get more ajr. When we sit in a gathering of the deen, we should sit as close to the speaker as possible. So unless you have some really bad back problem, Allah give you shifa, please come to the front and the angels will come from the back. Please come to the front. The rahmat of Allah and the thawab and barakat comes from here. All of this gap that we leave in between, shaitan comes in between us and he doesn't allow us to benefit. So come to the front, brothers. You get more ajr and more thawab here. Allah Ta'ala give you full ajr for coming, and Allah accept your coming, and Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat by this. I recited an ayah of the Quran that is very often recited, not very often only, for the last 1200 years since the pious Khalifa Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala, for about 1300 years almost every single khatib in the world recites this ayah in the second khutbah. This ayah of Surah An-Nahl, Ayat al-Kareema of Surah An-Nahl. Surah An-Nahl is the 16th surah of the Quran in the 14th juz, in the 14th para. This ayah, surah number 16, ayah number 90. Ayah number 90. I want you to remember that. Surah 16, Nahl, ayat number 90. This ayat is recited in almost every masjid, every khutbah, every jum'ah, by every khatib in the world for the last 1300 years. That means it's a very important ayat. And this ayat al-Kareema is the most comprehensive ayah of the Quran. It is the most comprehensive ayat of the Quran. And Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great, they used to call the greatest faqih amongst the Sahaba, he said that this is the most comprehensive ayat. It summarizes our deen in one line. This is the mu'jiza of the Qur'an, the miracle and the brevity of the Qur'an, the conciseness of the Qur'an. Whereas concise, it is the most concise words, but in meaning it is the deepest and most and broadest meanings. This ayah is so very powerful in its meaning and what it teaches us, that this is a one-line dawah, the one-line ayah for da'wah. When someone asks us, what is Islam about? And brothers, we live around non-Muslims. We work around non-Muslims. We study around non-Muslims. We are interaction with non-Muslims day in and day out. And someone may ask, what is Islam? And if not, we have a job to relay the message to them. But many times, many people, they say nice things that seem to appeal to people. That Islam is about good akhlaq, Islam is about being fair and just, Islam is about obedience, Islam is about worshipping Allah. All of those things are true. But this ayah is a word of Allah Ta'ala himself, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he puts an entire deen and all of the ahkam of our deen in one ayah. It gives a summary of our deen. And the Khatib recites this ayah every Jumu'ah to remind us about this. So this ayah is so powerful that in the past, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were Sahaba who, before they became Muslim, they came into Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they asked about what is this that you're teaching, so they can understand, and Allah ta'ala gave them tawfiq to accept. Here you have Hazrat Aktham al-Sayfi radiyallahu anhu. He was the leader of his tribe. Hazrat Aktham al-Sayfi, he heard that this man came out in Makkah Mukarrama who is teaching some new religion. He does not accept the gods of our forefathers. Rather, he curses them and he says that they're nothing, they have no power, etc., etc. Let me go find out what this man is saying and we'll see. So he made intention to go out and meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His people stopped him and said that, you know, you're the leader of the entire nation. If something goes wrong, then there's a problem. There's going to be inter-tribe issue. So rather, send two people and then find out, see what he says. So he sent a delegation of two people. And they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He taught them to ask him three questions, three things. What is it that, who are you, what are you, and what do you say? Who are you, what are you, and what do you say? So when they asked him, they went to him and they asked him, who are you? Who are you? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered in the utmost humbleness and simplicity, Ana Muhammad ibn Abdullah. I'm Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. It is a custom of that time, or even today, when someone asks, who are you? I give my titles. I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. Sometimes it seems like if someone doesn't say Maulana or Mufti or Hafiz or Doctor before my name, then they have to do sajda sahu. They have to do two extra sajda after once. Why didn't they say my title? Sometimes people have a whole alphabet after their name, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right after their name. And they act like this is their, they're going to go to the Qabr in Jannat with that. The gate of Jannat, but there's no special gate for doctors. There's no special gate for Mufti either. There's a special gate for the Saimeen, for the Mutasaddiqeen, people who do Sadaqah, people who do Sawm, people who go out in the path of Allah. There's special doors for them. And Khair, there's a special door for Ulama too, fine. No special door for a doctor and engineers. I am doctor, I go through that door of Jannat. No, it doesn't work that way. Point is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not boast about his title or his lineage like the way people used to do. Oh, I am so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the most generous of this qawm. I am the grandson of so-and-so, the bravest of this of my people. I hail from such a family that has this much power. So he didn't do that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was humble and simple. So he said, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, this touched them, and they came back and they reported that we found out that he's from the most noble of people. He's from the top level tribe of the area. All of this is fine, but he didn't boast about it himself. They noticed his humbleness. They noticed his simplicity. Number two, they asked, what are you? So instead of making it, I am so and so, I control this, I am the power of that, he says, Ana Abdullahi wa Rasulu. I am the servant of Allah and His Rasul. This also touched them. So when they asked, what do you say? What do you teach? He recited some ayat of the Quran. Among this was this ayah was main. So they heard this ayat and they said, repeat it to us again, and repeat it to us again, and repeat it to us again until they memorized the ayat. And they went back to Aktham Saifi and they told him, he teaches, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha wal munkar. So Aktham Saifi, he heard this ayat and he said, this man is teaching us makarimul akhlaq. He's teaching us the best way to live as a human being, the best characteristics to have, the best way to survive, and the best way to live with each other. Oh my people, you have to follow him now. If you follow him now, you're going to be the leaders. If you wait, you're going to be followers. If you obey him now, you're going to be the head. Later, you'll be the tail.
and he took his qawm, he took his tribe, and accepted Islam all at once. One ayat of the Quran, my brothers. One ayat. Walid was sent. Walid was a diplomat amongst the Arabs, and he was known for his sharp tongue and his cunning mind. He was known, he was a diplomat. You can understand a person who is very qualified is made a diplomat. So he was sent with offers to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That what is it that you want? You want money, we'll give you whatever money you want. You want power, we'll make you the king. If you want to get married, we'll get you the beautiful, most beautiful woman in the tribe. What do you want? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the famous answer, we know, if you give me the right hand, and the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, I'm not going to let go of this, because this is a mission from Allah Ta'ala. This is what I've been ordered from Allah Ta'ala. And he recited this ayah. Amongst the other ayat, he recited Hamim Surah Fussilat, Hamim Sajda. That shook him, and this ayat. So he came back. He came back to his people. He's mesmerized. He said, Wallahi inna lahu la halawatun. What he's saying is very sweet. Wa inna alayhi li tulawatun. There's nur in what he's saying. It's a very illuminated discourse he's saying. These are very nurani words he's saying. Wallahi wa inna a'lahu lamuthmirun. Inna aslahu lamuriqun wa a'lahu lamuthmirun. The root of this deen that he's teaching you is firmly planted and is going to give fruit very fast and is going to spread very fast. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ بَشَرٍ. This cannot be the words of a man. This cannot be the words of a man. He said, Walid, we sent you because you are such a strong personality. We thought you would overcome him. You are enchanted by his magic too. When someone does not want to accept, doesn't matter how much hidayat they get in front of them, doesn't matter they have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of them, they don't have the tawfiq to accept. So this ayat is that powerful, my brothers. We hear it every week in khutbah. The imam, he recites this ayat in khutbah every week to give us a briefing and reminder about what our deen is, what we're supposed to do and not do every week. And it's a one line da'wah. If you're able to remember this ayah and the translation, you'll be able to give a simple da'wah to any non-Muslim about what deen is. Surah 16, ayah number? 90. We have to remember this, brothers. Surah 16, ayah number? 90. Suratul Nahl, ayah number 90. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He orders you to do adl. He orders you to do justice. Justice, my brothers, in terms of me and my Lord, adl, it literally means in Arabic, it means istawa, to make something very plain and straight, like from one side of the room to the other side. If you're leveling the floor, you put a level and you see that it's straight. So waytu bayna janibayn, that means I did adl. I made it balanced from both sides. I made it straight. That's adl in the linguistic terms. Adl in terms of me and my Lord is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created me single-handedly. No one was part of my creation. Not even my father or mother. Allah ta'ala says, فَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ أَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Don't you see that drop that you put in the womb? Are you the ones who create inside, or am I the one who creates? Do you have any hand in how you form this child? If our parents had a hand, then all of us would be the most beautiful human being that our parents could think of. But some people are not. Some people are big, some people are small, some people are tall, some people are not. Allah Ta'ala chooses. No one has the right, no one has the ability to create or form. Allah is Musawwir, Allah is Khaliq, Allah is Fatir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who creates. He created me single-handedly. He gave me rizq single-handedly. In my mother's womb, He gave me. إِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. He knew you and He gave you everything you need inside your mother's womb. Whatever you needed, He gave you. Your mother wasn't even able to give you. When you came out and when you grew you, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. He gave you hearing, He gave you sight, and He gave you a brain and heart. And then after that, He did all of that single-handedly. And then when you bow your head, you bow in front of someone else. You do shirk with Him. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. That's a very big injustice. That's a very big zulm. When I worship, when I bow my head, I only bow in front of Allah. When I obey, I only obey Allah. Point is, adl, justice between me and my Lord, is that كَأَنَّكَ that you only worship Allah, one and only. Only one and only. No one else but Him. This is the balance. This is the justice between me and my Lord. Justice between me and my soul, me and myself, is that I don't do anything that takes this body, takes this soul to any harm in the dunya or in the akhirah. I don't do anything, put anything in there that harms it in the dunya. And I don't do anything with it that takes me to Jahannam in the akhirah. Justice between me and the people. I owe someone something. I owe them $5. I owe them next Monday. I pay exactly on Monday, $5 exactly. That's justice. That's adl. Adl between me and the creation, entire creation. Even when I walk on the ground, I don't stamp on it. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَلَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. You'll never be able to cut through the earth nor reach the mountains in height. Why do you think you're so big? Don't stamp on the earth. Don't stamp on the earth. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكْ. Be moderate in your walk. Be moderate in how you walk. My brothers, justice between me and even... forget the animals, even the inanimate things. I don't hit it for no reason. I don't harm it. I don't do things. I don't rip a leaf off a tree for no reason. I don't kill an insect for no reason. This is all justice between me and the makhluk of Allah. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl. Allah orders you to do justice. Number two, wal ihsan. Allah orders you to do ihsan. Ihsan is one way we look at it. Ihsan means good, do good. Another way of understanding ihsan is perfection. You perfect something. So when you do good, you go above and beyond what you owe. If you owe someone $5 next Monday, you give it to him on Sunday. You owe him $100, he helped you in the time of need, you give him a gift with it too. Brother, you helped me, here's $10 gift for you. Not in the contract, within this riba, as a gift to him, that brother, you helped me in the time of need. When I owe Allah Ta'ala 2 rakat for Fajr, I also pray 2 rakat sunnah before. For Dhuhr, I also pray the 4 rakat and 2 rakat before and after. And I give more than what I owe. I perfect it. I give more than I owe. This is ihsan. Another way of ihsan, as Jibreel alayhi salam asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is ihsan? He said, ka'annaka ta'budallaha ka'annaka tara. You worship Allah as if you can see Him. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. If you can't see Him, then know that He can see you for sure. That you perfect your ibadah, you perfect your mu'amalat with people, you perfect whenever you deal with someone, you perfect it, you go above and beyond. That's ihsan. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl. Allah orders you to do justice, and He orders you to do good, to perfect. Wa ita'i dhil qurba. And number three, He orders you to give to the relatives. My brothers, you may say, in doing things, in the awamir of Islam, in the commands of Islam, this was enough. Adal and ihsan. You do what you are ordered and you do above and beyond. But now this one is a special command from Allah because of how important it is. Ita'i dhil qurba. Giving to the relatives. Give to the relatives even if they don't give you. Treat them nice even if they don't treat you nice. And that's the hardest thing to do, brothers. Your relatives don't respect you like your colleagues, like your neighbors, like your friends. They saw you since you were small maybe, and they see you in the different part of life. They don't have necessarily the same respect toward you. But you do good to them and you give them regardless. Oh, why are they calling so much from over there? Why can't they get a job themselves? It doesn't work that way. Allah gives a hukum regardless. Because He chose that person as a relative for you, He chose it. out of ihtiram of the choice of Allah, we give to the relatives. And we keep giving to the relatives. Ita'i dhil qurba. This one, the Mufassirun, they say, the first two encompass all of the commands of Islam, all of the awamir, but the third one has special importance. That's why he put it separately. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's three commands. The three things after that are prohibitions. وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ He prohibits you from doing fahsha and munkar. Fahsha and munkar, shameful things and evil things. The difference between shameful and evil. Shameful things are those things that, the fahsha are those things that your aql, intrinsically insan, is able to figure it out that this is evil. Like for example, murder. Like for example, stealing. For example, zina. Human beings are built in. They have built-in conscience inside them that tells them this is bad, don't do this. And then munkar are those things that the Shariat must tell you that this is evil. Like for example, riba, drinking alcohol. Brothers, we don't understand how evil riba is. Riba is 70 levels of sin. Giving riba, paying riba, receiving riba, writing down, witnessing, all the same sin. It's 70 levels of sin. The lowest is like doing zina with one's mother. You can't imagine such an evil thing. The person dealing in riba, once he steps into the qabr, everyone puts you down and they leave, brothers. No one is harmed. They leave you in there. You can still hear their footsteps. When those munkar nakir come, they have for you 70 snakes ready to attack you at once. Each of them is so venomous that if they breathe on this land one time, it would not grow anything anymore. Is that venomous? Is that poisonous? Imagine, do we really want that punishment ready for us in the qabr, then we should let go of riba. ذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى Riba is something that the Shariat has to tell us. You know, we say, oh brother, we both agree. There's no zulum on me, no problem. I agree to buy the house in 25-year riba. Brothers, Allah says it's haram. Bas, it's haram. It's zulum. Allah says zulum is zulum, whether I understand it or not. Khair. So I was saying that those things what the Shariat tells me is evil, and the Shariat is required to explain to me that this is evil, is called munkar. So Allah prohibits you. Allah tells you to stay away from fahsha wal munkar, shameful things and evil things. That encompasses all of the nawahi, all of the prohibitions in Islam. But then there's a special one. Just like in the first category, the special one. Wal baghi, zulm, injustice. Because al zulmu zulumati yawm al qiyamah, zulm is going to be many darknesses in the day of qiyamah. And the person who is mazloom, there is no laysa baynahu wa bayna Allah hijab. There is no curtain between that oppressed person and Allah when he raises his hand. So this one is a special prohibition. Stay away from zulm. So now in one line, my brothers, in one line, we can present our deen. In one line, Surah An-Nahl number 16, ayat number 90. Allah commands you, Allah orders you to do justice and to do good and to give to the relatives. Three things. Stay away from shameful things and evil things and from injustice, from oppression. يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ He advises you so you can take admonition and benefit from this. This bayan, brothers, Hazrat Mufti Sahab gave some 12 years ago or 15 years ago. You'll find it. And I have replicated it in English at least maybe 50 times so far. Every place I go, I do it. And you know what people say? We should record this and distribute it to people. Because this is a one-line da'wah of Islam. We have such a scholar and buzurg and sheikh in our midst. We don't realize what gold and what diamond we have among us. So indeed, in reality, this message of Islam is for you to spread. It's for you to spread. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal upon this and spread it to others. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Praise Allah.